Hey everybody, welcome here. If you haven't met me, my name is Ben Friesen. I am one of the pastors here at Cornerstone Community Church, and we are really glad you're here for our second service of the day. Several of us gathered outside in the parking lot to participate, to worship together, and to enjoy each other, and we are glad that we are still able to be gathered with you this way as well. We're going to be getting to our sermon in just a second. I had a few announcements and a few prayer requests to share with you. First off, keep praying for Dan as he recovers from his back surgery. Pray for good recovery, speedy healing, and quick movement that way. Also be praying for Mona. She is experiencing some pain from an injury that happened several months ago and would appreciate your prayers too. I was talking to Rick this morning and he mentioned pray for Mona. So please be praying for Mona as well. A few announcements, since we didn't have an announcement video this morning. Our youth group is getting back together this Wednesday. We're going to be joining each other and getting back together physically, but spread apart, you know, the 6 feet at minimum, socially distanced. If you want to join via technology, there will be an option available for that as well. I think that's all the announcements that I have, so I'm going to get us over to our Cornerstone check-in with the Gillilands this week and reading some scripture as well. See you in a minute.
Where's it going now?
Yes, sir.
We're well intact, Gilliland, and we've been during the lockdown, we've been doing pretty much the same things we usually did. We've been working outside and doing our hobbies and things like that.
Most of us have been doing odd jobs and projects around the house. Also been working by email with others around the state on the 4-H geology project. How to go about judging for county fairs and state fairs, and working with Gem and Mineral Society, and trying to keep up with mowing grass. It's growing awful fast.
We've been working in the yard quite a lot, and I've also been doing some sewing for some of it for charity, and I've made 80 masks, and I've made about half of them went to my daughter-in-law, who is in a low-income clinic, and I have also sewed several comforters, including this one here for that I sewed for MCC with think scraps that squares that Fran and some other people gave me, and so we've kept busy. We miss you all, and we miss church, and we miss Monday coffee. Wednesday coffee. Bye.
Matthew 18:18-20. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them.
Good morning, friends. My name is Caitlin Friesen, and I am here to speak with you today, the scattered church, and be able to bring forward the word. Now, that may sound a little strange to you, the word scattered church, but I want to make a little distinction as we get started. You see, Ben, who's sitting over here, if I point this direction, he went and spoke to the physically gathered church today, those who are able to physically get together, to get out of their homes, and to be able to celebrate and worship God together in that way. I, however, represent the scattered church, and maybe you are someone like me. The scattered church does not mean that we are not connected. The scattered church means that we physically cannot be together. If you know my story, you know that I am someone who is often not able to gather together with others. And this season has been especially difficult for that. With my health issues, it's been a number of weeks since I've not only been able to see our church family, but literally been able to get out of our house for anything outside of, well, doctor's appointments and picking up prescriptions. And so I talk to you today, recognizing you may be in a spot like me, where your health prevents you from being able to physically gather. Maybe your mental health is getting in the way of you being able to physically gather. There's a myriad of reasons why you might not be able to physically get together with people, but I want you to know this. We, as the scattered church, are the church. We are still part of this. We are still part of gathering together. And so I thank you for joining me here today via technology and for being part of the church. I'm going to pray because that's something I always need to do to center myself as I get started. So will you join me? God, thank you so much for being here with us, the scattered church today. We pray that you will bring your message. Help me to relax. Give me the energy and strength I need. And I pray that you will give us open ears and open eyes to what you have to say. We love you, Lord. Amen. As we are sitting here and thinking about this time of being scattered and gathered, I want to let you know that the church has been through this before. You know, the early church was actually scattered more often than they were able to be physically gathered. There were times of persecution. It was hard to be able to travel to each other and be able to get together, but they were still connected, just like we are still connected now. There were leaders like Paul, Barnabas, Peter. They were going around and connecting churches. This is before the age of technology like we have now. And they made sure that their churches, the church, was being connected. We today have the church both gathered physically and scattered physically, but we are connected and we are united in spirit. Jesus has something to say to us today, to both the physically gathered and the physically scattered church, and I believe it has something to do with prayer. In this really difficult season, I recognize that many of you may be wondering how prayer fits in. Prayer has become a limp idea for many of us. It actually feels maybe unhelpful to talk about in this season. As we are watching our Black brothers and sisters being murdered, as we are watching people suffering around the world with viruses, with illness, as we are watching violence erupt and people wondering what to do, and in this time that just feels really disconnected, we may wonder, what does prayer have to do with it? And I want to tell you a whole lot. You see, I've been really challenged in this way in my life this season. As part of this physically scattered church, I have found that prayer has been a way that I have not only individually been able to connect with God, but it's been a way that I've been able to stay connected and remain in touch with my church community. For those of you who think about prayer as the quote-unquote sending my thoughts and prayers in tough times, I want to tell you, nix that. That's not the way that we're talking about prayer today. When we talk about prayer, especially prayer as a community, especially prayer as a community as we are both physically gathered and physically scattered, what that means is that we are asking God to show us how to move forward. We are gathering together. We are talking about things that we share in talking about these things in unity. And we are asking God to go ahead of us. And do you know what makes our prayer different than just sending our thoughts and prayers? Is that we believe God responds and that we are then supposed to follow. We need to realize that any time without prayer is dangerous and unwise. Too many of us Christ followers, I think, make decisions without talking to God. And decisions without talking to God are not kingdom intentional led. I think it's time for us to align our communal heart with the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I'm challenging us with today. You may be somebody who wholeheartedly agrees and says amen as I'm saying these things. You may be somebody who still feels really skeptical and feels like prayer is maybe not enough. I want to tell you today, and I hope that you can see where I'm coming from, that prayer is the first step for us as a community to know what God is calling us to be able to know and to understand what we as a community are supposed to be doing for our kingdom. So I ask that you'll join me as we move further into this conversation. As you heard from Mary earlier, today we are reading Matthew 18, and we're going to be in verses 18 through 20. Now, I really feel like I need to show you my super awesome 8th grade Bible case and my 8th grade Bible, which is totally beat up and underlined. And I have to tell you that all of these verses were underlined, it looks like, in 2005. And so these verses that I underlined in 2005 are still appropriate today. So let's read them together. I tell you this, whatever you prohibit on earth is prohibited in heaven. And whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. Now, I'm going to stop right there because that is a really strange verse. And I actually had to talk to Ben to say, what on earth does this mean? So we did our research. And what this is basically saying is that whatever we forbid on earth, meaning if there's something that we as the church agree is out of bounds, something that we don't want to participate in, then we as a church are going against it if we in a community decide to do that thing. Think about alcohol. Drinking alcohol is not a sin in itself, but we see over and over in scripture and perhaps in our own experiences that drunkenness is not a helpful thing. However, if there is someone in our church community who is struggling with alcohol, and we as a church get together and agree, okay, you know what? None of us are going to drink alcohol in order to support this person. Then that means it's off limits. We have prohibited that from our community. It becomes a sin issue because we agreed to it. So if we go back into doing that and hope that nobody finds out, or if we decide that we want to do that because, well, that person's not around, that's still a sin issue. We forbid it for ourselves. This is one of the hundreds of places in the Bible that we are talking about the importance of community, coming together as a community. We need to live well in relationship with each other because what I do affects you, and what you do affects me, and what we do affects each other. Jesus is reminding us here to live up to what we say we are going to do, which I think ties in really well with the next two verses. So read those with me, starting in 19. I also tell you this, if two of you agree down here on earth considering anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather because they are mine, I am there among them. Two or three. For a lot of us, we can take that in a way that we literally start counting the people in the room, but I want you to look past that because I think what God is saying is that our community is important and that God sees and responds to our unity as a community. Now, we recognize there are some conditions as we are looking through this. If God is opposed to what we are praying for, don't be praying for it. If we decide that we as a church really want to pool our money and try to win the lottery, I don't know. I just have a feeling that that might not be the way that God wants us to use our resources and our time. Just saying. But we also recognize that there are good things that we pray for and that they don't happen. And maybe that's where we as a community sometimes get tripped up. Maybe that's where we as a community sometimes struggle. Because we certainly don't see things happen immediately all the time. But we are told that when we come together, when at least two of us agree, that God is there with us, that Jesus is working in and through those unified cries, and that Jesus, who we talked about last week as being our priest, can take those requests with us to God, and that God hears us. If you are like me right now, this passage can actually feel a little assaulting, because when we read where there are two or three gathered together, you might feel like you've been left out. Remember, today, we are not just talking about being physically gathered. We are talking about being gathered in spirit, which means that me, sitting here in my living room in Topeka, Kansas, can be in agreement with somebody who is sitting in their living room in Jos, Nigeria, and that we can find that unity, that God can hear our communal voice, and that God will respond. We're still the church. I feel like that's something that maybe you need to hear, and I know that's something I need to hear. If you are somebody who is physically scattered in this season, we are still the church. And if you are part of Cornerstone Community Church here in Topeka, Kansas, like I am, rejoice. You are still part of Cornerstone Community Church, whether you can physically join on the lawn or whether you're going to be sitting on Facebook like I am for the rest of the summer, we are still a community and God still wants to use us. So how? How do we, as these groups that are not all physically together, how do we pray? How do we bring these things forward, especially in this tumultuous time? When we think of praying together, it usually involves praying out loud, holding hands. Maybe there's someone who's designated to open the prayer time and somebody else who's designated to close. Again, there's a lot of things that we've been taught that I want you to either, kind of put to the back of your mind right now as we talk about other ways of doing things. Because when we pray together in spirit, when we agree to have conversation with God about the same people, the same situations, the same occurrences here locally or around our world, even if it happens at different times or in different places, we in agreement can bring those forward to God and He can hear them. You don't have to impress God with a lot of words. You don't have to be polished, and we don't even all have to be speaking the same language. God hears us, and God wants to respond to us as a community. We don't need to feel shame or awkwardness when we bring things forward to God. God can handle us even if we are feeling angry, if we are feeling distressed, if we're feeling disconnected. Because the Spirit will bring us together, God can handle our emotions, and God can listen to us as a communal voice. We want to be praying for things that we agree on. Remember that prayer is not a time to promote your agenda. Whether it's personal, political, prayer is not a time for us to be praying for K-State to beat KU. I know for some of us that is a prayer, but remember that that is not a communal prayer. That may be something that you personally want to talk to God, but that's not something we want to bring forward to our group. It's also not time to share gossip as a prayer request. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the, "Oh Lord, bless the Johnsons because I heard their marriage was in trouble, but I can't say anymore." We are completely wiping that from our prayer vocabulary, okay? When we gather together to pray, I want you to completely erase that from your thoughts, from your intentions, anything like that. Because what we are supposed to do is pray for the things that are on God's heart too. Again, in this time, you may still be wondering, what does this have to do with anything? Is there really power in prayer? Is God actually going to respond in ways that are going to make our world better? Is God actually going to respond in ways that is going to make my own life better? I have to tell you that in this season, the only reason that I'm sitting right here and talking to you now, the reason that I have the energy The reason that I have the ability is because of your prayers. For those of you who haven't heard me preach before, this is super common. The Spirit seems to overwhelm me with tears often. And I have to tell you, these are tears of joy, because I personally have felt what prayer does when people come together and pray. I'm in a very different situation than I was a few months ago, and I firmly believe that there are people who came together unified in spirit to talk about me. And I don't deserve that, and I thank you for your love. And if God cares enough about me, sitting here in my living room by myself most of the time in Topeka, Kansas, how much more does he care about our community and our world? God wants to move, friends, and he wants us to gather together to do that. And so I want to tell you, get ready. This is our season to pray together. This is our season to unite in spirit. And this is our season to come together and recognize that God hears us, that God wants to respond. But it also means that God may be calling us to do things that we haven't done before. Thankfully, when we are united in spirit, that makes it a lot easier to do. It's easier to move forward as a group in what God has called us to do than to try to figure things out on your own. And so as I continue to wipe off all my mascara, which I have not worn for the last 3 months, I want to ask you to pray with me. And I'm going to ask for some very specific things for you to be praying with me for today and into this week and into the rest of this season. Number one, we are going to be praying for our community. Pray for our church. Whether you are part of Cornerstone Community Church here in Topeka, whether you are part of another church community elsewhere, I want you to be praying for your church community. May we be wise and may we be filled with love as we make decisions. Remember that we are acting as disciples and we are discipling others. So pray for your church. Pray that God will move them and will show them what to do. As we think about our smaller communities, I want us to work our way out, because we all know that we need to be praying for our country. We need to pray for an end to racism, and we need to pray for that boldly. Remember that we can come to the throne of God with boldness, because Jesus Christ has gone before us as the high priest, and we are allowed to bring forward to God the things that are heavy, that are messy, and that we are angry and upset about. We need to be praying for our Black brothers and sisters, for the families of George and Ahmed and Brianna and the many others who are experiencing extreme loss and pain and grief, and for our Black brothers and sisters who are wondering what is going to happen. We need to be praying for them, for our Asian brothers and sisters who have felt a huge burden this season with people throwing assumptions at them that they are somehow filled with sickness. We need to be praying for them. And in that, we need to be praying for an end to racism. We need to pray for justice, for an easing of tensions, for peace. We need to pray for those things in our country. And we also need to recognize that as we pray, God may be asking us to move forward, and we can respond. We need to be praying for our world right now. As we think about the many thousands of people whose lives have been affected by COVID, for those who are sick right now, for those who are working for wellness, for the many people around the world who are grieving the loss of loved ones, we need to pray for an end to the coronavirus, and we need to be praying for all of those who are affected. We need to pray for Jesus' kingdom to move forward, for people to come to know Jesus. We know that God's kingdom does not include racism, that it doesn't include illness, that it doesn't include violence, but we also believe that it's bigger than what we have made it now. There are people in our communities, in our country, and in our world who are meant to be part of God's kingdom, and we need to be praying and inviting them into this good and holy work. Friends, we believe that God hears our prayers and that God responds. As a community, when we are united in prayer, we also recognize that God is going to be asking us to move with Him. God is going to go before us, and we are going to be asked to follow. And for us, as a church, that may look different than things we've done before, but as a community, as a group that is unified in spirit, it is something that we can do together. So I'm going to ask for us to do something that's a little bit different, I think, than what we've done for a while. Starting this week, I'm going to ask for those of us who are interested, which I hope is many of us, to be matched as a prayer partner. Now, this may be something that you did as a child or something that you know you did in Sunday school years ago, but I want us to be even more intentional this season, because I want for those of us who are part of the church that can gather physically to be paired with those of us who are part of the church that are going to be scattered physically. I want this to be a way that we can be united, and I want this to be a way that we can continue to pray through things together as one, in agreement. And so I want you to think about if that's something you'd like to be a part of, if that's something your whole family would even like to be a part of, and if so, I want for you to email me, caitlin.holly.baird, yes, that's still my maiden name, sorry Ben, @gmail.com, and just let me know if that's something that you'd be interested in doing. Over the next few days, I'm going to be pairing people up, maybe even pairing families up if that would be easier for you. And I want you to walk forward over the next 9 weeks in intentional prayer with and for that person. Because again, where 2 or 3 or 10 or 25 are gathered, we know that the Spirit is with them. As we close this emotion-filled time, I want to pray. I recognize that, again, it feels hard as the church that is physically scattered right now to be able to pray together. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray through the 4 major things that I asked us to pray for. And if you are in agreement, I'd like for you to just be able to say on your end of the screen, amen, or raise your hands or clap or do a dance or however you want to respond in agreement. And so I ask that you would pray with me during this time. God, thank you. God, thank you that you hear us. Thank you that we cannot be separated by physical distance. Thank you that we cannot be separated by our political affiliation. Thank you that we cannot be separated by all the things that want to divide us. Because we recognize that when we come together in spirit to pray, that you overcome all of those obstacles. Thank you, Lord. And so we, as the unified, scattered church, pray today. God, we pray for our community, wherever we are. God, I pray for Cornerstone Community Church, and I pray for the myriad of other churches that may be present in this conversation. God, we pray for your wisdom, we pray for your love, and God, we pray for your guidance as we move forward into this season, looking at ways that we can make our communities better, that we can usher in your kingdom in our cities. God, we pray for our country. We especially pray for those who are struggling right now with the systemic racism that we have allowed to exist. And God, as we deconstruct that, we pray that you would give us the power and the strength to do so. And we pray for our Black brothers and sisters. And we pray especially for those who are feeling oppressed in this season. We pray for our Asian brothers and sisters. We pray that you would strengthen them, that you would remind them that they have worth, that they have value, and that they matter. And God, we pray that you would show us how we in our country can move forward in your goodness and in your love. God, we pray for the physical health of our world. Lord, we beg you for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for those who are struggling right now, for those who are fighting for their lives, for those that are helping them fight for their lives, for all medical personnel and the many others who are trying to come alongside those who are sick. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. God, we pray that you would bring peace in that situation. And God, we pray that you would bring wellness to our world. God, we pray for your kingdom to come. We pray for your kingdom to move forward. We pray that people would come to know you. And God, we recognize that your kingdom is full of justice, is full of peace, and that your kingdom brings people to you. May more people be able to join us in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And God, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. As we move forward from this time, hopefully recognizing a little bit more the importance of prayer in this season, I'm going to leave you with this blessing. Go in the knowledge that where two or more are gathered, whether that is in person, online, over the phone, or in any other way, know that Jesus is there too. May you feel Jesus' presence as you pray together and feel Jesus' empowerment as you go out unto the world. Go with God's blessings, friends, and know that you and I and so many others are united in spirit this season.